Hey friends, you're listening to Go Home Bob or You're Drunk, an irreverent media podcast.
1 Corinthians warned you about the women with a loud mouth, and this podcast is just that. Here at the Speaking in Church podcast, we talk all about the regular people and the things that regularly happen to them in the evangelical church. It's a podcast about change, it's a podcast about seeking moral high ground, and it's a podcast for people who are just trying to deconstruct on the safe side. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts, and if you want to be a guest, yes, you, regular person, you can be a guest on the Speaking in Church podcast. If you want to come on, just let us know.
Hey everybody, you're listening to Go Home Bob, You're Drunk, the podcast that was voted most likely to not throw you into a fiery furnace. Mm-hmm. My name is Justin. I'm a former evangelical, former pastor, some days former Christian. I was having a discussion with someone today, and they said they were an omniist. I'd never heard of this term before. Maybe I'm just not up on the hip lingo, but an omniist is someone that thinks there's a little bit of truth in every religion. And I feel like that's too optimistic about some religions, but I don't know.
That's like low-key or rival theology.
I feel like
you got to piece all, you got to put all the pieces together in order to make it work.
Yeah,
right?
It's just too much. I feel like everyone that's an omniist is probably like has a yarn wall room, you know, where they're just kind of piecing together the like. Yeah.
I feel like that's the only real yarn wall that I respect, including my own yarn walls.
Fair.
To be honest.
I mean, like, it's not like a not respect thing. It's like instead of an altar, you have a yarn wall.
So QAnon.
Yeah, but QAnon, but like trying to find the truth in every religious belief system, which is nice. That's nice. I liked it. I'm not an omniist, but if you want to, they have a nice little Wikipedia page. So, yeah.
Oh, cute. I love this.
So, yeah, that's what I've been learning. And I'm an agnostic, and I'm very happy with that. People say, what are you? You say, I'm an agnostic. And then no one asks you any more questions. Like, you don't have to be like, I'm an agnostic, but not that kind of agnostic. Like, you don't have to do that. It's great. Everyone should try it. I have a co-host.
Very smart. Yes. Hello. I'm Tori, and I'm also a former evangelical. And, you know, grew up in church doing all of the churchy things and was supposed to be A, taking over the government for mm-hmm. God, and B, getting raptured yesterday when we're recording this, which was Eclipse Day. So neither of those things have happened. Very grateful for that. Heaven sounds boring as fuck.
Yeah. I'm glad that I would not be raptured.
Love it for other people if they would
love
like
it
that.
For them. Yeah. If you want to get sucked up into the sky, I hear space is nice this time of year. Enjoy that. Yeah, that would actually be really shitty if like the rapture was just gravity stops working for you. Like, oops.
Bye.
Yeet into space. Anyway, so yeah, the eclipse. I had a bit of a cynical eclipse party, if you will. I was having trouble scheduling a dental appointment, and lo and behold, there was an opening magically on April 8th for a procedure. And then I realized it was eclipse day and I didn't feel like changing it. So I was like, you know what? You know, fuck it. I'm just going to, you know, there'll be another, you know, eclipse happens. Guys, an eclipse happens once every like 18 months. They're not special. So.
Well, they don't happen here every
it's
18
true.
Months. And we're the place that
That's
matters.
That's true. That's so, true. Because biblical prophecy only applies to America, not
the United States.
The places
America.
Where eclipses yeah. happen. Every year, you know, every year and a half. So anyway, so I was like, yeah, whatever. So, but actually it was actually kind of fun because I, you know, the it was kind of like a little party in there. Like, it was me and a couple people, like, you know, like, you don't really want to party when you're getting dental work done, but like, I had a little dental work done. We went out, looked at the eclipse, had a little more dental work done, went out, looked at the eclipse. It made the experience better. So I guess my advice is, if you're going to have dental work done, definitely do it during the eclipse, because it was actually quite pleasant, all things considered. So, I mean, it's also super lame. I remember he was putting the numbing stuff in. I was like, this is what rock bottom feels like. I've reached it.
Oh, no.
But yeah. So yeah, I experienced some totality, and I think maybe it was because I was like mostly in the path of totality. I was like, I'll just look outside. It's fine. I don't need to travel.
I'm gonna
There's not a thing to do. But anyway, so that was my eclipse story. I know you were on the other side of the country, so you got
a
blip.
I mean, nothing really. Like, I went for a walk. It was overcast here, but like, you know, I just like wasn't one trying to look at the sun even through the clouds. I'm like, I've got my eclipse glasses from 2017 somewhere in my junk drawer probably. But like, yeah, couldn't really tell. We were at about 30%, which I suppose cloud cover mitigates more than 30% of sunlight, I guess. Like, it's significantly darker when there's a lot of clouds, so I couldn't really tell a difference, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I've seen an eclipse before. Just very fun. Got really cold.
Yeah, the 2017 one, I think it was more than 30% where I was at, but it was kind of cool. So yeah. I think the next one where I'm going to be at is like 2099. So.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Okay.
So a while from now. So
yeah,
eclipses are, you know, quite common. You know, they happen once every like year and a half or so. They happen all over the world. An eclipse happened in 2017, like all across America. So the Great American Eclipse happens often. But, you know, I'm disappointed because, you know, the rapture didn't happen. The end of the world, you know, I still had to go to work today. I'm disappointed, Tori. The Christians, they were wrong, I think. Or maybe...
Oh, has that happened before?
Maybe. I think the goalposts have now been moved to April 23rd is the new rapture date, end of the world date.
This month?
I think
2024?
So. Okay. Yes. Okay. I think that was the new thing. So, I don't know. It's interesting, like, just every time there is a predictable celestial event, you get a certain number of people just like, this is it. Like, I mean, I saw on like Facebook, someone was like posting like a sunrise, like Jesus is coming back, get ready. And it's like, at a certain point, it's kind of like you have to sit the kid down. Like, dad's not coming home. Like he left for cigarettes 20 years ago. He's not coming back. Like, you know, like at a certain point, it just gets sad, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Like,
yeah. It does. I feel very similar at this point. I'm just like, oh, honey, no, he forgot about you. Yeah, I'm sorry. whatever. I'm sad for the Christians that didn't get taken, that wanted to get taken. I think that the only way that we are going to achieve world peace is when evangelicals find their happy place, wherever that happens to be, and leave politics to the people who are not committed to denying what they see in front of their faces.
How about, I mean, at very least, leave politics to the people that believe in government. Like, that's what bothers me. People are like, I'm going to run for this government office because I believe the government is not the solution to your problems. I'm like,
then you don't need to be there.
You could just not be there then. Like, just don't. Like, I mean, if I was interviewing for a job and I said, like, I don't believe in what this company does. It's my goal to make this company smaller and less effective. I am going to intentionally try to slash the revenue of this company. I'm going to decrease it. I'm going to make it smaller. People are going to get fired. They're going to lose their jobs. We're not going to satisfy our customers at all. I would not be hired for that job.
This is genius.
I would be bad at this job.
This is genius framing. That is genius framing, because they're always like, the government just needs to be run like a fucking business. So you're like punching holes in the bottom of the ship. Like, what does that look like for you?
Like,
what do you do to your businesses? Because yikes.
Yeah. You want your businesses to be profitable and like actually do what they've said they were going to do. So
yeah. Unless you're running some sort of grift. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Like at that point, then, you know, sure. Like I can maybe admire the swagger, you know, like. But
yeah,
maybe a little bit. Not really. So I don't know. I'm tired. I'm really tired. I'm just tired of the it's just like, when does it like, I don't know, maybe for you, when did the like rapture treadmill get tired and not tiresome enough for you that you just like got off of it?
That is a great question. I like the last big like rapture prediction that I remember was, I think it was like May of 2012, I want to say. And I think I've told this story before, but my mom sent all five of us kids a text message that was like, here is our bank account and this is our mortgage. This is like our mortgage. And like, I love that you think that none of us are going.
I know. I was just going to say, like one, I'm confident my children aren't going. And two, I'm confident that these numbers will mean something after half the population is gone.
Truly. So yeah, I just sort of laughed. I was like, Oh my God. Okay, whatever. Yeah, I will. Sure, I'll handle your fucking mortgage when you disappeared later.
I do remember there was one time there was like, I think it was like a group of atheists that were like having people pay them in advance to take care of their pets after they were raptured or something.
Yep.
Which again, amazing. That's doing the people's
amazing
work. Like,
it is.
I don't know. Like, but it's just a, like at a certain point, I don't remember when. I think I don't know that I was big into the end times as a teenager because I was in youth group in the 90s. The year of 2000 was approaching. It was kind of the zeitgeist that the world was ending. Y2K, this, that, you know, whatever. But like,
yeah,
it was kind of maybe in college. I was like, I don't know. The Bible's, again, this is the problem. I was sincere in my faith. I think that was what doomed me.
That was your problem.
I was like,
sure.
The Bible's
don't
pretty
that.
Clear that we won't know. So I'm just not going to speculate. And that just kind of like just stopped that. And I just kind of laughed at those people. But it was like, it's like Greg Laurie, you know, I was reading an article, you know, and he was basically.
Wait, Greg Laurie or Greg Locke?
Greg Laurie. Who's like the harvest guy out in California, you know?
Got it. Okay. Like, okay. Not the Tennessee guy.
I didn't want to look up what the Tennessee guy had to say about the eclipse. You know,
no,
just
we don't want
my
to
mental
that,
health
actually.
Was not in a good enough state to die, to go there, folks. I'm sorry, but Greg Laurie, yeah. I can handle. And he was just basically, it was the funny thing is, it's like, he was like, the eclipse doesn't necessarily mean anything. Those things happen all the time. But you know, what's going on in Israel? That's what's important. You know, where, you know, Hamas killed. Did you hear? Hamas killed 1,000 people.
That's.
Those
numbers may have been exaggerated, buddy. But
I'm repeating Greg Laurie.
Just for no, yeah. I know. I'm saying this to Greg Laurie, like, buddy.
And then it's just like, and we know in the end times that, you know, and you would, and he was like, and you would think people would rally around Israel at a time like this. This was written the other day,
at a
folks.
Time like do you? Have you ever read a history book, sir? At what point do you think?
Yes. He's like,
at a time like this, people rally around the Jews. Like, has that ever happened? No,
it has not. In the best of times, when the Jews were the best, they did not rally around them. Like, I'm sorry. That's it. Please.
I don't know what that means. I don't know, like, when that was. I don't know. I'm like, the best of times. That was not what was happening.
But then, like, when you have the Zionist state, like, just murdering folk, like, no, people are not going to stand with you. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I stand with Jewish people. Like, I don't want any harm to come to Jewish people, but Zionists who are killing folk, yeah, maybe sit down. No more for you. No more monies for you.
Yeah, you're in timeout.
But anyway, yeah, he was. But then he was like, but we know in the end times that Israel will stand alone. Like,
so what? Like, how can both of these things be true? That, like, everyone should be rallying around Israel, because why wouldn't they?
Yes.
Again, all of history, like, read all of history. That's why, because people are fucking bigots. It's just like, also, it's God's plan for Israel to be isolated, which I'm like, Jesus, fuck, dude. Like, don't say that, because, like, again, this is, it's like they want Israel to make shit decisions.
Yes.
So that they will be isolated, so that they can trigger the rapture. And so, like, that is a functional form of anti-Semitism. Whether or not you believe the state of Israel should exist is kind of irrelevant to that particular question, because you are actively calling for the extermination of Jewish people.
Yeah, like, in a roundabout way, we want Jewish people and we want Zionists to have control here so that they can fuck around, and so then they can find out. And then Jesus can come back.
And then we get to go. Like, totally. Like, totally. Like,
that's kind of like murdering someone via cop, you know? Like, you know, we're going to call the cops on these folks.
Oh my God, they're fucking swatting Israel right now. That is what they are doing. Jesus Christ.
You know? And it's like, yikes. Like, that's like, please. Can no one read this? Please. No one that votes read this. Like... So, yeah, he's, and again, like, you and I just read the entire book of Revelation. Nowhere in there it says, like, Israel will stand alone, and so God will have to come and rescue it. Like, I'm sorry, if Israel was, okay. Not going to go, there's so many places I want to go, but it's just. So, that's in the air in evangelicalism. Thanks.
You would think.
Yeah, so the solar eclipse isn't a sign of the end times, but Israel standing alone is. So, yeah. She would stand alone, so God would step forward and be strong on her behalf. No scripture is quoted here, by the way. This is, again, just vibes. It's all vibes. Vibes.
I know that this is terrible and no one should do it, but it's also really, really fucking hysterical to think about somebody making some, like, kitschy Hobby Lobby art. Mm-hmm. It's got a little, like, Israeli flag and it says she must stand alone. Like, oh, God. And then, yeah, just put, like, a fake scripture on it.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's like that's how seriously I take this man's theology.
Yeah. And so I feel like they're like
not very.
Their whole vibe is, yeah, Israel has to stand alone, or like they get an ethno state. Why don't we get an ethno state? Like Christian nationalism bullshit.
But you don't even have like any kind of like historical 5,000 years ago claim to this.
I mean, I guess so, like,
your ethnostate is Britain. Yeah,
my ethnostate would be Scotland. Like, it would, and it's functionally, it's like me just flying to Scotland with my American passport and being like, this house is mine now because my ancestors lived here like a couple hundred years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how houses work. Don't you know?
Yeah. So this is mine now.
Well, I don't know. Ireland actually does want people to move there. So if you were feeling so
inclined. You know, I am Irish enough, I think, that I could probably go and make that claim.
You probably pull it off.
For sure. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, if the British wouldn't have functionally tried to exterminate Ireland many times, they might not have the population problems they have. It's, you know, most problems are the British Empire's problems. I mean, honestly, what's going on in Israel and Palestine today is Britain's problem.
Love those guys.
Love them.
Colonization is bad for
I was watching an Instagram reel where this Indian guy. He's like, I don't forgive the British for colonizing India. I don't forgive them for any of their, you know, various colonization efforts. He says, but I'm currently in England in March, and I could see why people would want to pack up and live anywhere else. He's like, I don't. Yeah. It's like that doesn't excuse it, but I understand.
It's an understandable impulse. I agree. I think that, yeah, I think that's really, really funny.
Yeah, the food is terrible. Good. The weather is terrible.
I don't know what we're...
I had a British guy tell me the only place to get a proper curry was in England with a straight face.
That's like their number one dish right now. It is.
And it's delicious, but don't pass it off as British. Like, anyway, we're off topic. The eclipse doesn't matter. It's pretty. It's a meaningful thing because it's pretty and it's interesting and it is relatively rare. But I will say it is wild to me that our moon is perfectly sized for that kind of phenomenon. I think we might be the only planet in the solar system that has a moon that perfectly, you know, covers the sun. I think it's a coincidence. I don't think it's God, but.
Yeah, that would be weird. Like, what would be the point of that? I don't know. People are strange. I'm not even going to speculate.
But
it's cute.
So, but anyway, and I hope you enjoyed the eclipse if you were able to see it. If you weren't, I'm sure there'll be one in your neighborhood sometime in your lifetime. We're going to take a little capitalism break. I will say this about the eclipse. I kept seeing that article. It was actually an article from 2017 that said that the eclipse cost the United States like $700 million in lost productivity. Mm. And in that, I say good for the eclipse. It was kind of like a functional strike, and we need more of that in life. So we're going to take a capitalism break like the eclipse, and we'll be back. We'll see you.
1 Corinthians warned you about the women with a loud mouth, and this podcast is just that. Here at the Speaking in Church podcast, we talk all about the regular people and the things that regularly happen to them in the evangelical church. It's a podcast about change, it's a podcast about seeking moral high ground, and it's a podcast for people who are just trying to deconstruct on the safe side. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts. And if you want to be a guest, yes, you, regular person, you can be a guest on the Speaking in Church podcast. If you want to come on, just let us know.
Thanks for taking a little break with us, y'all. We really appreciate you putting up with all of the capitalism stuff that we do to, you know, kind of keep the show going. However, most of our support does come from our really wonderful patrons. And if you would like to join them, you can just do that at patreon.com/gohomebible. I don't know why that's difficult for me to remember. Yeah. So you can sign up there. There's a couple little tiers. You can get early access to the episodes, ad-free early access to the episodes, I guess I should say. We've got a little Discord community. We have some fun little extras that are going to be coming out soon. Justin and I are going to do some reviews of some beloved children's books. Specifically tackling the works of one Clive Staples Lewis. And so that's going to be just for patrons.
If my name was Clive Staples, I would go by CS, I think.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Clive isn't terrible.
Clive's not terrible.
Clive Lewis? Yeah. Like, I think that's
Clive Owen. Perfectly fine. Clive name. Barker. Like,
yeah. I mean, yeah, I have friends who have named their kids Clive, probably because of Mr. Staples. Yeah. I want to call him now.
The middle name Staples. I just have questions because middle names are a choice.
I'm sure it's like a family name or something. I'm sure it was something like that. I reread The Magician's Nephew specifically for this. Justin is rereading it as well. It'll be really interesting. I started rereading The Horse and His Boy, so Justin and I are going to have some thoughts, TM, because that book is racist as fuck. And so if you want to join us for any of those little adventures, when's that going to be up? Is that going to be up like,
I'm going to say probably early May-ish, because we're going to start, we're going to start recording in like a week or so, and we'll have them out. These are patron exclusives just for patrons, and you get to engage with those. And we'll get more details on how those will be delivered and everything. So just a nice little bonus for our patrons, for you to enjoy. So, because we cover the Christian truth here on the podcast, the free podcast, we cover the Christian fiction for our patrons. Just have to make that delineate that line that the truth, this is the truth. Yeah. God's word mm-hmm. is go home, mm-hmm. Bible, you're drunk. This is tentatively called Christian fiction. So little bonus pod for y'all.
Which is like a little cult. I don't know. We might have to do like some Frank Peretti or something once we get through.
I think I am going to draw the line at those like weird little Amish Christian romance novels.
Wait, what Amish Christian romance novel? Oh, you mean like the Western?
Yeah.
The Western series? Yeah. Like,
I used to make fun of them. There was a girl. I went to Christian school, just so you know. Mm-hmm. And there was a girl on my bus that was reading those. And my friends and I would joke that it would be like, it's just a trashy romance novel that begins with the sentence, they got married, then like trashy romance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I am going to draw the line there, but we're going to hit the classics, I think. So.
We're going to do, I haven't read those books. I remember that they didn't make me feel good. They made me feel bad, which is why I'm not interested in that, in those particular books. They made me feel very miserable personally, and that's not a fun feeling, so I don't want to revisit that. However, I do remember being very entertained by like the god, now I can't remember the name of it, but like Frank Peretti's little kids book series. That's basically just all, they're all just like ripoffs of Indiana Jones
and the Hardy Boys.
And the Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, like that whole series. I remember being really fun. I tried to read it to my kids and they were like, what is happening right now? They were very confused.
That's great.
I have a lot of thoughts. C.S. Lewis has some internalized like racism that he thinks he's not doing, and it's very weird. So gonna unpack all of that for patrons, which is again just patreon.com/gohomebible. If you want to sign up for that, you can get a life verse if you sign up at the youth pastor tier or above. Everyone's going to have access to the book reviews that we do. Mm-hmm. Book reviews, Bible studies. Yes. What are we? I want to call them something. Yeah. So you should join us. If you can't do that right now, totally understand. If you could write us a 5-star review, text this episode to a friend, or, you know, post it online or something like that. If you follow us on Instagram, that would also be greatly appreciated. Justin does a really good job running our Instagram account and posting amazingly topical memes. And I don't know how he pulls that off precisely, but I'm always like, oh yeah, this is perfect.
Yeah. When I'm able to focus on it, I think again, it's like, what meme format works? And you know, it's just, they come to me. It's lovely. It's a gift. It's a very niche gift.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But thank you all for your support. We are going to talk today about a story. We have actually covered this story somewhat before, like probably close to 2 years ago. So
you don't have to tell people that.
I feel
if they haven't been hanging with us that long, then they don't know.
See, here,
and if they have,
I only say it to be like, I feel like we are waiting that long between episodes, which is way longer than like your average evangelical church would wait to do the same story again. So,
true.
You know, it, and I feel like as a programming note to just be like, as stories feel relevant, we may cover them again. And we're aware. So
it's really topical. It's like, God, this is like such a throwback. I'm trying to remember like what specifically was preached the Sunday after 9/11.
Oh.
At my church. Cause like that was, I'm sure that was some like patriotic bullshit.
Rah, rah.
It had very little to do with the Bible. Just like, we're being attacked just like, I don't know, the Israelites were being attacked after they started taking land from people who already live there, which again, we don't know that that happened, and we definitely don't know that it happened that way.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
it says that they committed some genocides that they definitely didn't commit. So I think that there's some hype going on there. It seems like some marketing is what I'm going to
say. I feel like someone should let the current nation of Israel know that, like, actually in your historic past, you only said you committed genocides and you didn't, like,
you didn't actually do it. I'm sorry. I hate to break it to you, but you didn't do
it. You didn't actually do it. You
You did integrate. Yeah. You probably did some killing. Yeah. Most people do. That's fairly normal, even, I would say.
Famously married and elevated people that weren't you. So, yeah. So we're going to read. We're going to talk about the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Abednego.
Yes.
Abed. Can I just call him Abed? I prefer that.
Little Troy and Abed in the morning. So
That's cute.
It's a very cute name.
And Nego reminds me of Negro, which I actually think is kind of pleasant.
Yes.
Not in like a racist way, but I like it feels kind of retro and I think that that's cute, but I don't like it for like this story.
Yeah. And it's not like I would much, I suppose you'd probably rather name your kid Abed than Nego. Nego.
Although Nico's cute and popular. Cute. I like Nico also. Abednego. That's better.
I like that.
I fixed it. See, we improved the name.
Look at that. We're improving upon the Bible already.
As we do every week.
One note, this name. If we could just kind of give it a little change. All right. So I felt like this story was relevant, and I suppose we could do a bit of a conundrum, if you will. And I suppose here's a thing, because a lot of evangelicals are bowing down to an image of a golden man, if you will. And I suppose a conundrum that evangelicals are facing is, would you rather bow down to the image of this golden man, or would you rather throw your political ambitions for the last 30 years into the fire? And I suppose which one, I don't know. This isn't really a conundrum. It's just more, I guess it's more of a setup for the why we are talking about this. Because I was going to, I guess my conundrum initially was going to be like, you know, like if you, what would you choose to like be thrown into a fiery furnace or bow down to an image of a golden man? But I was like, it feels too on the nose and / something they may be doing in the next 20 years. So like, yeah. Just felt a little too. So maybe we'll skip that. It kind of brings up, honestly, this whole story, this, and we'll read it more in detail, but I think most people who have been to Sunday school know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they could bow down or they could go into a fiery furnace. And I remember as a kid, like all of these martyr stories, I remember being like, a part of me being like, who cares? Like I could just pretend that was God. Like, and bow down just fine. Like, why? I've always been like, why? Or like, why would, like, there was this, we watched this movie, I think in Sunday school, or it was like a short film kind of thing, or maybe a clip from a longer film, I don't know, where this like man was talking in this, it was in this like futuristic room, it was like a white Star Trek looking kind of room. And this like, man was talking to his son about like how, you know, just about life and about God and how important it is and everything. And then like two men come in like, all right, it's time to go. And then like, then that's when you realize that like this man is talking to his son shortly before he's going to be executed for being a Christian in this like weird dystopian futuristic setting. Oh, you know, God. And again, they're showing this to children, yeah, you know. But I remember thinking like, if that was my dad, I'd be pissed. Like, why didn't you just say you weren't one? Like, God will forgive you. Like, I never right. understood the right. whole martyrdom, like, obsession. Like, I just...
Justin, are you saying you wouldn't die for a lie?
No, not at all. Like, I would... There are not too many truths I would die for. Like, there are people I would die for sure. But just, like, statements? No, I don't care. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
If they busted into my house and were like, "Hey, do you love Donald Trump?" I'd be like, "Sure. Can you leave now?" Like,
I would like to go back to bed.
Yep.
This is like, I think I'm like, I'm too lazy for Christianity.
Yeah, maybe.
This kind of Christianity, I feel too lazy for.
So, but anyway, we'll kind of get to the more commentary. So, so this story starts out. It's in the book of Daniel. And it's King Nebuchadnezzar, or, you know, Neb for short. Nezzar, if you're particularly close to him. So King Nebuchadnezzar, It made an image of gold, 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide. It's just big. Let's just say it's just big.
Also, I don't know if gold could like hold, maintain its own, like gold is very soft. I'm thinking about the actual like physics of this structure, and I kind of feel like I don't know if that would be possible. Like it must have been gold plated or something, because like gold is not a weight bearing metal.
But it's also like, I mean, the footnote here says it's 90 feet high, and that's a 9-story building.
Questions,
you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'd set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon, basically just out in a field somewhere. And he summoned all the, you know, I'm going to read these things because I feel like these are important.
It's a good list.
Just, you know, the satraps, the prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. And again, it feels like he set this image up to just like chill out in a field to like, I guess, project his power. But it's also like, if you set a bunch of gold out into a field, I feel like that's going to get stolen pretty fast. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Can I also add that like, you can't do this. This is not a way to run an empire. You can't just bring all your administrators back for good party times because you feel like showing your dick off. Like this is,
yeah.
Your empire would fall to shit if you did this. You cannot do this.
Yeah. So
no, it's not possible. People be like, oh yeah, they're all gone. Like, fuck them. We're out.
Yeah.
Like-
So yeah. So I'm just out in the middle of nowhere. And you know, they're just chilling. So they're out doing their thing. And again, it repeats because the Bible repeats all the time, you know, then all the satraps, the prefects, everybody, they decided to come there. Then a herald loudly proclaimed, you know, nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, all kinds of music.
The bagpipe.
Yeah.
My Bible says there's bagpipes.
Yeah, the bagpipe. Actually, I think it's a bagpipe. Was it the bagpipe? I'm going to have to look that up. I'm sorry. I think the bagpipe actually is like a Middle Eastern instrument.
Really?
That was, you know, over time imported.
I didn't know that. That's really funny.
It's native to Scotland in the sense that it like it has its own tradition, its own variants, but like the original bagpipes were, you know, originated in the Middle East, I think. Anyway, so all these things happen. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Like, and again, this is not the way to run a kingdom. Like, just not. Like, you don't go like killing your officials because they like have old knees and don't feel like getting on the floor. Like, it's just.
Yeah, no. I mean, yeah, it's like you're harming yourself, because if you're bringing all of the people who have all of the expertise about your political structure in and then being like, I'm going to fucking kill you. Then it's like, again, you're just letting go of chunks of your empire if that's how you're going to roll. So. Sounds fake to me. Like, this story doesn't sound real.
Yeah.
I think you have to be, in order to have an empire this large, you have to not be dumb.
Mm-hmm.
This is my theory. Yeah. You have to not be a dumb person. And this is a very dumb move. Dumb people can't maintain empires.
Yeah. And it wasn't terribly far from actual Babylon, I don't think.
But like, the Babylonian Empire was massive. So if he's pulling in all of the administrators, they're having to come like hundreds of miles. It's going to take months for them to get there.
Yeah. And for
some of them are going to die on the journey.
Like, yeah.
This is just not wise. This is not wise.
No. And again, the parties last forever and everyone gets drunk. This is like one of those not great parties, though. I mean, I imagine that half of them are probably hungover, like, you know, from the previous party that they were at. So anyway, all these things happen, and then everyone, fell down. So at this time, you know, some astrologers, you know, some people, I don't know, they came forward and denounced the Jews. They said, and every time I say the Jews, it feels like,
it feels anti-Semitic because this book was translated by anti-Semites.
There are other phrases too that I won't repeat that sound racist that aren't, but it's just like, this feels like I'm doing, anyway, I'm just reading the,
like, the, you know, Jews.
When you say it, it just sounds way too punchy.
Yeah.
Especially when you're reading the Bible, because it's usually like, they came forward to denounce the Jews, or the Jews, you know, if you're reading in the New Testament, like the Jews were evil or something. It's like, no, whoop, whoop, whoop. Like, no.
Yeah, you're like, back it up.
They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, may the king live forever. Your majesty has issued this decree, you know, and again, like pumping him up, like you do with all orange kings. Like you have to just, you know, all of the orange kings, yep, need to be, you know, told they're the made and the best. And like, lo and behold, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they aren't paying attention to you, your majesty. They, you know, and then of course Nebuchadnezzar gets mad. He summons before. He's like, all right, we're going to give you one more time. Do you realize we're going to throw you into the blazing furnace? You know, then what, you know, I can't rescue you. My gods won't rescue you. Will your God rescue you? You know, and they're like, oh, don't worry. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, God will serve and is able to deliver us, da 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 da. You know, and you know, I mean, the story follows a pretty typical pattern. Okay, King Nebuchadnezzar is mad. You know, like, oh, I'm gonna make it hotter. I'm gonna get hotter. You know, basically, like, I mean, it's like people that are like next to the furnace are like catching fire or something. Yeah, so it's just, you know, again, yeah, okay, whatever.
Sure, bud.
And then, of course, they look in as they're in this firing furnace, and then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're just walking around, you know, and then there's this other man in there, like, oh, my gosh, you know, there's another man in there.
Can you see into fires this way?
Yeah, like, are you, like, looking through the, like, slit in the kiln, like, you know, like...
Right, exactly. Like, how is this working? Because if it's that... Okay, there's no glass. Mm-hmm, we know, yes, that, right? So it's like the heat is just blazing out. So if you put your eyeballs there, they're going to get singed. So... You're not going to be able to see anything. Plus, fire is not very, like, see-through.
Yeah, it's not transparent.
If you have a bunch of shit on fire, which they would have had to have because that he was like, turn the heat up. So they've got to throw a bunch more flammable shit in, yeah, there, right? So being able to distinguish, like, and then you, like, push some people in. Like, being able to distinguish people, like, this doesn't make,
yeah, and then,
sense.
Like, you know, fire famously, you know, does, you know, smoke famously obscures things. Anyway, the story didn't happen. On a lot of levels.
On a lot of levels, it didn't, yeah, happen.
File this entire chapter under things that never happened. But then, you know, okay, he sees this person in there, like, oh like, God, your God has saved you. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel to rescue his servants, you know. And, you know, the king, yeah, basically... And the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So, like, you know, it's, oh, amazing. You know, basically, everyone now has to worship Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's God, or they'll be cut to pieces and their houses turned to piles of rubble, for no God can save in this way. Like, it, and again, like, these are things that did not happen. Like, if this happened, like, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have been incorporated into the Babylonian pantheon, you know, or like reinterpreted as one of their chief gods. It would, they, like, monotheism was not really a thing. Like,
conceptually, it didn't, yeah, exist. It was like, we have our God, you have your gods. Like, that was, yeah. Monotheism as a concept is like a very philosophical concept that was not, you know, that's just not how people thought about things. And the Bible's, even with all of the, adjustments, I'll say, that they try to make to the story when they translate it into, mm-hmm, English, for example. You know, they try to, like, turn up the anti-Semitism and they try to turn down the, there's lots of gods and we just all agree on that, but they don't successfully do it all the way. So, you know, God talks about, like, oh yeah, the other gods, like, they're coming for me. Like, yeah, you better not switch teams. It's like, I'm very jealous of Hoomst, mm-hmm, sir.
Yuck. And I want to bring this story up because it's interesting to me, because, like, when I was taught this story in, you know, Sunday school and things, like, it was taught about this, like, we don't bow down to other gods, we worship God, you know, up in, and also, like, and usually there would be, like, some kind of stand-in, like, okay, we don't worship other gods now, but, like, maybe your god, your idol is money, or maybe it's, you know, whatever.
Oh, and, God, right.
But it's like the biggest idol of them all right now in evangelicalism, I think, is political power, which, mm-hmm, which, again, like, this story is a pretty direct like, if you are going to take it at face value, this is a pretty direct story against, like, this is a certain way power is wielded, and we will not bow down to it to up until the point of death. Like, I don't see a lot of evangelicals doing that, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Like, they would happily throw us into a fiery furnace for not bowing down to their little orange person / Jesus, mm-hmm. their little orange Jesus. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to say orange Julius but you know, like, and so it's this very mm-hmm. odd thing where it's like, we grew up with all of these stories that were very clearly like against this kind of power. We hold a different kind of power. We stand against imperial powers, you know, like we subvert imperial powers, you know, in a way. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, if this story mm-hmm. did happen, let's just say, like, let's just play this out for a second. Like, this is a subversion of dominance kind of power, you know, right. It's like, you know, like, I think, I don't know, like, you know, I've heard theologians say, like, Jesus and other, you know, examples in the scriptures, it's like power under versus power over.
Yeah, and
I'm sure they cribbed from somebody else, but so it's just interesting, like, that the story feels pretty clear, but it's like, it feels like evangelicals are like, nah, actually, what if we just were Nebuchadnezzar, like, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I don't know, what do you think?
I mean, I think that evangelicals do worship power. I mean, I think that is their top priority in this country, is just accumulating as much political power as they can. And I don't love that. Mm-hmm. I don't love the fact that they think that other people want political power in order to harm them. Because it's like, what are you talking about? You know, like, are there like a bunch of laws being passed in like blue states shutting down like Christian schools? Like, no, there's fucking not. Are there a bunch of laws being passed trying to control what you can teach in Christian schools? No, there's mm-hmm. not. Like, are there a bunch of laws being passed trying to force Christian schools to teach human sexuality? There's fucking not. Like, stop. They sincerely believe that because they want to hurt everyone, everyone wants to hurt them. And it's like, no, we're just better people than you fuckers. Mm-hmm. Stop behaving like this. And I think within that context, right, that there is like this really sort of deep, I don't know, like misunderstanding, I suppose. Like, I don't know. I think that there are definitely shitty things about the Bible, right? Like, if you're taking all the verses that are like, say, pro-slavery and all of the verses that are anti-slavery, like the pro-slavery wins, mm-hmm. you know, like the condoning slavery wins. If you're taking all of the verses cumulatively that talk about women, like the misogynist verses win, like just by volume,
yeah.
Which is probably where they kept so much of like the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible, excuse me. I assume that that is why theologians did that when they were trying to crib from Judaism. But I think that you can actually make the case that like subverting power is a good thing, and that using power to oppress people is a bad thing throughout all of scripture, right? Like, mm-hmm. yeah, there are those chapters about like, oh, we went out and we like killed all the Canaanites and all the Hittites and all the whoever. And it's like, well, it's like, no, you didn't. And also, and you know, and I, you know, there's the other piece of the kind of the other side of that coin of like them going out and conquering because they're coming from being enslaved, right? And so there's like this very sort of different framing of like, I'm going to protect you so you can go and you can like take this land. I think that's fucked up personally, but again, like we said, it didn't happen mm-hmm. that way, so I'm not going to stress about it, right? But like undermining Pharaoh. Right. That's a huge part of the Old Testament. And that gets talked about all of the time, like throughout like the Psalms, for example. Things like that, where it's like you and the exile, it's like you may have power over us, but like we have.
Yeah. And God, we will retain our identity
right.
we will. And
right.
that's the central question of like, and honestly, the book of Daniel is an exilic work, you know, probably written. Right. Well, after the exile, are compiled together from folkloric stories about the exile, like And so yeah, how do we maintain our identity? Like, and so like, these are in a place where we are not the dominant power.
Right. And there wasn't ever like, oh, God has called us to take over the Babylonian Empire, right? Like, God has called us to take over the Roman Empire. God has called us to like take over the Assyrian Empire. Like, that's what God wants for us. It was like, no, it was actually supposed to be like this. This particular narrative was actually supposed to be like this really small group of people that God is protecting, right? And I don't know precisely how to justify that with like the all of the slapping around of Israel that God also does when he feels jealous that day. I'm not sure how to fit that in necessarily, but I still think that there is something about like, no, you are small, and if you obey me, I will protect you. And that it seems like God feels like that's a fair trade.
Well, and also protect even isn't like a remnant of you will survive is the actual promise.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good, that's a great point, actually. Yeah, that there is. But I think that there are things like, now I can't remember the story, but the story where the, like the Israelites were being attacked and then like they had, there's a bunch of stories about this, right? Where it's like you have Gideon and all of his little like band of people who are going to go out and like try to fight an army that's way bigger than they are, and like God is protecting them. And then there's another story, and I'm like, my brain is, I can't remember where it is, but the one where like they are about to go and like fight this huge army, and then they like look up and they see all of these like chariots of fire like in the mountains, right? I think that, yeah, I don't see really how you can act in good faith and also use this book to support the accumulation of political power. I just don't get it.
Yeah, like it, actually, I mean, we're getting to the point where maybe Mormons were right. In the sense that, like, I mean, their original, I mean, because, like, okay, like, I think we've pretty much established the Bible is very misogynistic, very pro-slavery, very ownership of women, kind of, you know, like, but also, like, be a small minority of people that's set apart and different and, like, out there. And so it's like, I like, if you want to go practice that privately in the hills, one, I'm sorry for anyone that practices that with you, but also, like, I feel like that's maybe more authentic than, like, we're going to take over the government subversively, yet not subversively at all, and generally make as many people's lives miserable as possible, and also set up a ethnostate in a place that we've not been and send them a ton of guns and be like, hey, fuck around, guys, no accountability. I don't, the God of the Bible, for all of their faults, I don't see them being happy with that. Like,
yeah. And I mean, I know, like, I want to acknowledge this, like, we obviously, you and I have a lens that we read the Bible through. But I mean, I think that you and I are also people who would be willing to sit down and have a conversation in good faith with people who feel like the Bible is like a sort of a blank check for them to have power over people and say, like, I don't think that it looks, I mean, you and I could sit down and say, like, I don't think that that's what this means. Like, I don't think that the, like, preponderance of the text is on your side in this, you know, but I don't think that they can't sit down with us and have a good faith conversation.
No, because they can't look at it critically. I mean, that's the, like, it.
Yeah.
Or not even critically, like critically even. I mean, I'm kind of using it more in the academic sense, but like can't look at it at face value like it. Or look at it with new information. Like it's always, well, even this will be a topic maybe for another week, but it's, I'm seeing this kind of trend in like evangelicals kind of starting to soften on things like abortion or things like LGBTQIA inclusion. And that's, I'm not going to get into that. I mean, obviously ultimately it's good, but there's maybe some restitution that should be made. But it's interesting that the framing, it seems like, and I've seen some people tweet about this and like some of the books and articles that have been written and just even some of the dialogue, is that like God's changing his mind, you know, like on these things, which I feel like is weird. An interesting framing, because it's like you're using a text that allegedly hasn't changed, but you're saying God's, you know, or like the book that's coming out, The Widening of God's Grace. It's like that seems to imply that like these people were excluded and it was totally fine that we excluded them. Like, it's totally fine that we were terrible. It's totally fine that we owned slaves. It's totally fine that we didn't let women vote. It's totally fine that we, you know, like, did awful things to queer people. But now God's changed his mind. And so now we're changing our minds. And it's like, that, I'm like, no. Like, you don't get that framing. Like, because again, it like lets you off. Like, you can, you know, and it's like, and so I feel like they would do the same thing. Like, well, you know, God maybe used to say that we shouldn't accumulate power, but now we have America where we can accumulate power.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and, you know, but it's, again, it's all vibes. Like, you know, if I was to phone up these guys when it's like, oh, Israel needs to stand alone. Where does it say that? Oh, it just does. You know, mm-hmm. or like, where does it say you should accumulate political power? Like, oh, it does. Like, you know, it's like, you know, I thought it says obey the governing authorities. Like, well, that's we only say that when Trump's in office. When like Obama's in office, like, oh, fuck that guy. He's not my president.
No.
Like, so that's the danger and the interest. And it's like, it's hard to have good faith conversations with someone that like, it's generous to say that they move the goalposts. It's more like they just change the entire game every couple of years.
Right. They change. They want to change the rules in the middle of the game. And like, that's not even trying to be like a shitty person and saying that, like, that's what happened during the election. Like, Rudy Giuliani was fucking in Pennsylvania telling their like state legislature and like whatever their judicial branch looks like, you have to change the rules of how you're counting these ballots. And it's like, we already started counting the ballots, bro. Like, no, we actually don't have to do that. But yeah, I think that's really typical of the way that they view it is like, you know, we get to change the rules as we're going in order to, collect, maintain or accumulate political power. And I think that they maybe also do see that they're, you know, they're hemorrhaging people. Like, people are fucking leaving the pews and people are saying, I'm leaving because you're shit to queer people. That is like, I can't remember. It's the number one or the number two reason that people are giving for leaving, like across the board, like people who are leaving religion sort of across the board it's like, you're actually the bad guy. Mm-hmm. And they're realizing that, like, if they want to keep doing this thing that they're doing, if they sincerely believe in it, that they're going to have to change. Like, they're realizing that they're losing on abortion, right? And so if they want to have any access to power, be that like political or cultural or whatever, like whatever other kinds of power they want to accumulate, they're not going to be able to maintain those positions because they're just no longer tenable based on the number of people that they have that are committed. Mm-hmm. Like, I had Andrew Seidel on White Homework, and something that he said, because I was like, okay, I'm kind of drowning over here. Like, what's giving you hope right now? And he's like, every time that they try to take away people's rights, we get more people on our side. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I got to remember this. Yeah. But it's true, right? It's like every time they ban abortion, we get more people on our team. Like, more people are going to show up because these are things people need, and they're trying to use the Bible to legislate.
Like, well, I mean, in the state of Ohio, like, abortion was on the ballot and it won by almost 60%, which it now is kind of almost unheard of. Like, margins are
unheard of in the US. Like, that's very rare.
Like, so it's like, when you like, the people are changing pretty, and the interesting thing is, like, I won't get into all the details. Like, we've talked about it maybe before, but Republicans tried to change the rules for even how things can get on the ballot, and Republican, like, very conservative counties, even that measure lost. Like, you know, like people, like, even people that are like very pro-life, very conservative voters are like, whoa, wait a second, you're trying to change the rules? Like, fuck that. Like, no, we're not gonna do that. So it's like, it's
because they still want to be able to do that, which I think that they should be able to, right? Like, they still want to be able to have voter initiatives on the ballot. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, okay, whatever, you're a church and you want to have a voter drive, or, you know, try to get something on the ballot, like, sure, go stand in front of Target or Starbucks or whatever, that's fine with me, I don't care. But I think that they see that it's like, okay, in order to accumulate power, we have to take away tools.
Yeah.
And there's a certain point at which people are like, no, that's like, that's my life.
Yeah, I'm actually uncomfortable with this. So,
right.
So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to watch them, you know, try the of ever shrinking crowd of people bow down to this orange man. and, you know, I'm like, we're just vibing in the fiery furnace, like just watching it go down and hoping that, you know. I think to Andrew's point, and I think it's a good thing maybe to kind of land on or focus on, like, every time anytime empires like try to just tighten up the grip, it's like, no, actually we prefer not to, thank you, we're okay. Yeah. So it'll be interesting fight, but yeah, it's watching them kind of just sell their, I didn't even have a soul at this point, it's just sell themselves out to this, because right. Comical until it's not.
Yeah it is. It's comical in the sense that it's like, you guys are being ridiculous and you don't see it, but it's not, because also they're causing massive amounts of harm.
Yeah. And yeah, this is what we got to keep sight of and be good to ourselves and laugh when we can. So thanks folks, enjoy your week, and yeah, check us out on the Patreon if you want to engage in some Christian fiction after this Christian fact. So, all right. We'll see you. Have a great week. All right.
First Corinthians warned you about the women with a loud mouth, and this podcast is just that. Here at the Speaking in Church podcast, we talk all about the regular people and the things that regularly happen to them in the evangelical church. It's a podcast about change, it's a podcast about seeking moral high ground, and it's a podcast for people who are just trying to deconstruct on the safe side. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts. And if you want to be a guest, yes, you, regular person, you can be a guest on the Speaking in Church podcast. If you want to come on, just let us know.